Scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman Empire. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. While when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this is God's word to us from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20.
Good morning. I have to squint to see you guys. The glare. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you again from God's Word. Today we have a very, very familiar passage, and I hope that our hearts can be encouraged once again by this Christmas story. In this series of Advent sermons, we have seen how in the Christmas story, ordinary and often unnoticed people were surprised to be invited to be a part of God's plan for the arrival of his son on earth. We looked at Zechariah, the priest who could not initially take the angel at his word. Last week, we looked at Mary, the young girl whose life was drastically changed by the angel's visit and her courageous response. Today, we will continue in Luke 2 and see how another group of people, the shepherds, responded to this unexpected inbreaking of God's kingdom into the ordinary lives of people on earth. Luke introduces and anchors his account of the birth of Jesus with a historical reference to an event in the Roman Empire. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. It's remarkable to think that God took thousands of years to prepare the events of history and the hearts of his people to receive his son. But in the fullness of time, as Paul says in Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, when the time was finally just right, When Roman rule had established some measure of law and order, and Roman roads could provide easier access to the far corners of the empire. When the Greek language, with its elegance and precision, had become the lingua franca for communication across many lands. When Jewish longing for a Messiah to deliver them had built up to a peak under Roman oppression. When the fullness of time came, God sent his Son. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. In fulfillment of the many Old Testament prophecies, Jesus was about to step into our world. Though there was no riper hour for news of Jesus' arrival to be quickly disseminated across the world, the way God chose to introduce his Son was nothing short of strange from a human point of view. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to go to Bethlehem. And we all are very familiar with the pictures. He and his wife Mary pledged to be married to him, as we were reminded of last week. You know, have you ever kind of put yourself in the shoes of Joseph and Mary? They were caught up in a very inconvenient requirement by the government. They find themselves on a road to Bethlehem, the humble, unassuming hometown of David. Yes, the one who arguably was Israel's greatest king. Do you think either Joseph or Mary realized that they were about to witness the arrival of the greater King David, the King of Kings? Or were they simply trying to cope with bouncing along the Judean countryside with Mary 9 months pregnant? If anyone was paying attention, they would only have looked like the birth of a child to a very ordinary couple. Yes, the King of Kings has arrived, but no crowns, no thrones, no big parade. He was born just like any one of us. Born of a woman, so he could be one of us. The legitimacy of his birth could have been the stuff of village gossip. He came to a poor family who could not bring along a crib and who could not even find a hotel room, let alone a hospital. Was this a convenient time? No. But as Luke said, the time came for the baby to be born. Paul adds in Galatians 4:4 that he was born under the law. He was not only born of a woman, meaning he was truly human, but he was born under the law. He was born a Jew under obligation to God's Torah, so he could fulfill for us the full requirements of the law in his life and bear the law's curse in his death. I appreciate the songs, the last song this morning in that worship sequence. Yes, we do have to remember this enormous price that God was prepared to pay when he sent his Son. To Joseph and Mary, he was their firstborn son. But to us, he is our firstborn older brother. And by his good graces, he will lead us to be joint heirs with him into God's big family. For Joseph and Mary, the birth, though prophesied by the angel, was a very low-key affair. It was more or less a matter of making do with what they had. There was no time or resources to plan a celebration or party, even though this was one special baby. But such good news could not go unnoticed, and God invited a few to celebrate with them on this special occasion. If you just had a new baby in your home, who would you invite first to see him? The grandparents? The siblings? Close friends and relatives? If this was the first grandson in the House of Windsor, the tabloids would be abuzz. Crowds would gather outside the wrought iron gates of the palace to catch a glimpse if possible. Only the privileged few would be invited to actually see and touch the future king in the royal nursery. But God had other ideas. God chose to invite the most unlikely, ordinary folk you could imagine. Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. We see little kids dressed up as shepherds at Christmas plays. We think they're kind of cute. But shepherds were unlikely guests because they were poor, despised, and untrusted by society in those days. They didn't just work out in the fields. They were considered dirty outcasts and had to live outside the city walls. They were ordinary people working long hours, yes, the night shift. They were not watching for a special star like the Magi. They were just watching for jackals that might grab an unsuspecting lamb. Unlike the rabbis and priests of the day, they may not have been very familiar with religious matters and messianic prophecies. They were probably just trying to stay warm and awake as the night hours seemed to drag on and on. So they were terrified when the angel of the Lord showed up in blazing glory. God was merciful to them and started his announcement with just one angel. Like the rest of society, life for them was a grind, living from paycheck to paycheck, trying to make ends meet. The world around them looked pretty dark. Roman rule was oppressive. God may have seemed very distant to them. They were people in need of great joy. Living in a world of strained personal relationships, adverse societal pressures, and social unrest against the Romans, they probably wondered whether God cared or still showed favor towards his people. They were people in need of peace, people who very much needed God's favor to rest upon them. Such were the initial recipients of God's invitation to see his newborn son. Their world and their place in the world was not that different from ours. Because this was no ordinary entrance for a king, what the shepherds might have expected for the arrival of a savior, the Messiah, or the Lord, would have been all wrong. So God had to give them a sign, a special clue for the scavenger hunt. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This was also no ordinary invitation. Normal invitations would just have your name on it. This was intended to be a chain letter to be forwarded, because the good news is intended to bring great joy for all the people. In fact, all people on earth are invited to experience God's favor and peace. As we'll see shortly, the shepherds did not miss this special instruction attached to their invitations. The shepherds themselves were not very special people. In fact, they were unlikely candidates from a human perspective to be the first messengers of the good news. They were despised. Their word was not even considered dependable in a court of law. But just as God chose a strange way to bring his son into the world, he chose an unlikely group to rely on as the first evangelists. After their initial shock and to send them off with great gusto, God cued in a huge heavenly choir, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let's look a little more closely at the shepherds' reception of the heavenly invitation. They took it seriously, recognizing that it was the Lord and not just the angels who just spoke to them. They did not just sit around and debate whether this stupendous announcement was overhyped or not. After a brief consultation with each other, they simply decided to get up and go. Leaving their flocks where they were, they hurried off without hesitation. Checking things out for themselves, they realized that things were exactly as they had been told. What can we learn from this? When God shows up, nothing else matters. It is important to check things out for yourself. You will find out that God's word is dependable and he does exactly what he says he will do. As we begin to take him at his word, we come to understand more and find him dependable and good. Remember I said that their invitation had a special twist? It wasn't just for them. The shepherds understood that this good news was not just for their benefit, but everyone else needed to know. So when they had seen Jesus, they spread the word. May this Christmas be one when we not only take a closer look at the manger to better appreciate our Savior's arrival, but when we be so overjoyed by this deeper appreciation that we cannot help but share it with others, spreading the word. It is also interesting to note that Luke states in verse 20 that the shepherds returned, presumably to their flocks. Their circumstances had not changed. They did not become itinerant preachers. They still had their old jobs and responsibilities. They still face the same ostracization and pressures, but they have seen a new reality. They now know they have a Savior, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. For that, they could not stop glorifying and praising God. Notice Luke says, for all the things they had heard and seen. The sounds of the heavenly choir stayed with them like a tune they could not get out of their heads. When they looked at their flocks each night, they knew that just beyond the clouds and starry constellations, there was another reality, so real and so close that life will never be the same again. So what happened to those who heard the shepherd's report about what they had heard and seen? Luke mentions two different responses. In verse 18, he writes, "And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Why were they amazed? Probably because they weren't expecting anything like that when they heard, like what they heard. What a strange way for God to save the world. How could the Messiah come in this way? They were amazed, but they did not understand. Probably their hearts were also not stirred or moved by what they heard. How many times have we heard the Christmas story and said, "That's nice," only to go on with our lives as if God has not shown up at all? I very much appreciate the painting you have right here in front of you that our own Vincent has done. It highlights, as you see in your bulletins, the response of each of those sheep that represent a whole range of responses. So I encourage you, after the service, come up, take a better look. It's beautiful. But Luke contrasts the response of everybody, the standard superficial response of amazement, with Mary's. He says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." There are two aspects of the kind of response to the Savior's arrival and to God's invitation that is fitting and appropriate. One is to go out like the shepherds and share the good news with others. The other is to follow Mary's example, to turn inward and quietly reflect on its significance. I think both responses are necessary. We should let this event sink deep into our hearts. Treasure it, think about it, ask, why like this? How does this impact me? I love Mark Lowry's song, "Mary, Did You Know?" because it helps me to begin reflecting on the significance of Jesus' arrival. I'd like to share it with you. As you listen to it, I invite you to kneel beside the manger like the shepherds. Put yourself in Mary's shoes and wonder how gentle and gracious of God to step into our world in this humble, fragile way. Is there not a lesson there for how we are to step into our world, to share the good news of God's love. As our hearts are stirred, let us follow the shepherd's example in sharing the invitation. Let us be excited to spread the word. Let us remember the heavenly choir singing glory to God in the highest heaven when we watched the news feed on our phones, knowing that the good news of peace on earth needs to be shared with our fellow human beings while we are still here on earth. As ones who have received the full rights of adopted heirs, let us be quick to share with others who feel ostracized, neglected, ignored, and unknown. They too are invited to catch a glimpse of one special baby. They too can come to call him their big brother in God's family. You know, the only people who might have believed the shepherds would be other people who were just like them. So go, invite your family and friends to visit the baby in the manger this Christmas season. Kneel quietly and wonder at God's gift to you. Let's also get out of our holy huddles into our communities and workplaces to share our unmistakable joy and peace, a heartfelt gratefulness to God, and our deep love for Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Thank you.